summer series, Anointed Songs, where we've been diving into the book of Psalms and discovering some real rich truths about what we can and how we can interact with God. If you brought your Bibles with you, open up to Psalm chapter 55 this morning. You know, all of us as human beings get frustrated. Can I get an amen? We get frustrated. We experience pressure and stress that comes on us due to different experiences. Now, sometimes it's because of a tragic experience where something that just changes your world happens. And so there's this pressure that comes upon you, where maybe somebody in your family passes away, or there's some bad news report, some tragic accident, where all of a sudden you feel a burden on you. All of a sudden you feel pressure on your shoulders. But you know, for most of us in our day-to-day lives, pressure comes on us by small things piling up upon one another. Small issues that tend to build one at a time that put pressure upon us. Several things happen, and you know, I spent many years serving tables as a waiter, and you don't break down during your shift and lose your temper because one bad thing happens. It's because of one thing upon another, upon another, upon another, upon another. If you've ever served tables, you know what I'm talking about. Table 34, you haven't been able to go and greet table 34 yet. They've been waiting for 10 minutes. You haven't even been able to say hello because table 35 has been complaining to you about the price of the hamburgers. You finally get into the kitchen to order food for table number 36 and you get that rung in. But then later on when their food comes out, the kitchen forgets to send out the appetizer. And so now they're upset they didn't get their appetizer. And then 37 is arguing and complaining because they ordered their food before table 36, but table 36 got their food before table 37. And I still haven't been able to greet table 35 because the chef is using some strong words with me in the kitchen about how to properly ring in an order. Can I get an amen from any waiters and waitresses out there? I mean, it's one thing after another. It just builds up a little bit more stress, a little bit more stress, a little bit more stress. And I had at least one of those days. At least one of those days I was serving tables. And the very final incident that made me lose my cool was when my table received their dinner before their appetizer came out. Now, all these other things are going on. Now, you'd look at that, and if you've never served tables, you're like, that's not really that big of a deal. But on that day, it was a big deal. A lot of things have been happening, and I had just seen that their fish and chips had gone out, and they had not received their mozzarella sticks, and I lost it. I had just picked up some plates that I was going to be bringing into the kitchen, and then I was going to have some strong words with the cooks in the back. And I was bringing in these plates, and now normally you're supposed to clear plates in the kitchen by taking your fork and scraping the food off into the garbage. And there's this little special lid that was magnetized, right, so that silverware wouldn't go in there. Don't worry, this is deep spiritual truths that we're getting to here. But on this particular day, you know, and usually we didn't scrape the food off, you know, usually we actually just bang the plate against the lid and the food would fall off. Now, you're not supposed to do that. Why? Because you could possibly break a plate, right? And what seems to happen when you're having a little bit of a temper? You don't really react the way that you should. So I didn't really do a little gentle tap. I came in, and I smacked that plate on that garbage lid. And that plate cut in two and sliced my hand, blood flowing everywhere. Okay? Now I'm more angry. Because I need to go apologize to my table, and my hand is bleeding, and I need to go get a Band-Aid, and I need to find a manager to go to talk to the table to apologize for me, which makes me look even worse, because I don't even have the dignity to go and apologize for myself. Like, this was a bad day. And I left the end of that shift with very little tips and very little self-respect. Why? Did something really significant happen that really ruined my life? No. Just one small thing after another. Just one phone call from that customer you've been working with. Just one comment from your brother or your sister that day. Just one word that you had from your boss that day. And all of a sudden you get home and your spouse makes one little comment trying to be funny or cute and you just lose it. Why? Was it because of what they said? No. It's what they call the straw that broke the camel's back. The straw that broke the camel's back. And that saying is based upon a parable that used to be told in Arabia, because you would place straw upon a camel's back to be able to bring it into town, into the market. A human being wouldn't want to carry all that straw, so they would place it on the camel's back. And so there's this story that says that there's this one man who was placing the normal average amount of hay upon the camel's back. But you know, this one man wasn't happy with that amount. He wanted to be able to bring a little bit more. So he started piling more straw on the camel's back. And the camel started, you know, wobbling a little bit, getting a little bit shaky. But now the man was curious at how much straw the camel could carry. And so he kept adding it, until eventually he was adding one piece of straw at a time. Until eventually there was one straw that broke the camel's back. And this was a parable that was told to try and teach people a lesson, is that there is too much. There is a breaking point that you literally cannot carry anything more on your shoulders. And this morning I want to be talking to you about the weight that we carry on our shoulders, the burdens that we have in our lives. And I'm convinced that the great majority of us in the room have far too much weighing upon our shoulders than we ought to. Far too much weighing upon us than we should. And so you're there in Psalm chapter 55. We're going to read, this is a Psalm of David that we're going to read. Let's start in the first few verses here. This is how David begins the psalm. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan. Anybody else start their prayers like that? Verse 3, why is David praying like this? Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. David is angry with his current circumstances in life. So much so that he's complaining to God about them. He's crying out to God in complaint because of all of the bad things that are happening in his life. He has enemies that are coming against him. Listen to David's honesty. Verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Have you ever been that honest with God before? David's horrified. There it is. David is trembling with fear for his life. His heart is in anguish. We can safely say that David's not in a good place here. David's not having a great day. He's not having a great month. He's probably not having a great year or season of life. And he is so willing to be honest with God that he says some pretty strong words. Let me take you to one more strong word in verse 15. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. David is so bothered by the people that are causing him trouble that he asks God to send them to hell. Have you ever prayed that prayer? You know, your boss pulls you into the office because you weren't filing the paperwork correctly, and he gives you a bit of a hard time and a little slap on the wrist, and you say, yeah, okay, and you walk back to your office, and you're like, God, Jesus, could you just drag him to hell? Like, I would just appreciate that if you could just, Mr. Jones, just for a little while, just send him there alive. Don't kill him, David says. Send them to Sheol alive. You know, it's just a temporary punishment. A little bit of singeing from the flames. Have you ever asked God to send somebody to hell? David was beyond angry. I think David was at his last straw. You know, we need to learn to be honest with God when we pray. We need to be willing to be honest with God. He knows what you're thinking. You might as well say it. We need to be willing to be honest to God when we pray, express our frustration. Now, this psalm, for the most part, you read through the entire psalm, and it's filled with negative words about complaint and frustration that's going on in David's life. You need to be willing to be honest with God. God, do you have any idea how much pain I'm in right now? God, do you understand the kind of pressure that I'm under? You need to be willing to pray like that. It's okay to pray and complain to God. But then David, within the last few words of this incredibly depressing and negative psalm, he says this in verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. See, here's the thing. You got to be willing to be honest with God. You got to be willing to complain. You got to be willing to give him the list of people who are frustrating you and the list of issues that are currently bogging you down. You got to be interested in doing that. But don't stop there. Don't just stop there and close the door and say, God, I just needed to vent. Thank you so much for the opportunity to complain. Amen. You can't stop there. You got to continue on to the point where you can give it over to God. See, it's amazing. I find this absolutely amazing. David is, you read through this psalm, complaining, whining, moaning, I'm depressed, I want to die, send my enemies to hell, complaining, complaining, complaining. Verse 22, just cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain you. It's like, is this the same guy? Is this the same guy? It's like, it's just like in passing, just don't you know, just cast your burden on the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. David, you're sounding a little bit bipolar here. Maybe we should send you in for a check. I'm sure that they can get you some pills that'll help you with this. Just cast your burden on the Lord. David, you're scared of death, physical death. You're depressed. You're angry. No, just cast your burden on the Lord. Just complete 180-degree turn. What if I told you this morning that every single burden that was upon your shoulders could be lifted? Every single thing that's weighing on you, what if every single one of those things could go away? What would that look like? Better question, what would that feel like? I think there's many people who'd be a lot taller in this room. You just grow a few inches, like, wow, I didn't know how much that was bogging me down. But every single burden can be lifted from your shoulders. You see, David got to the point in the midst of expressing his complaining that he realized that these were not his burdens to bear. He realized that this wasn't supposed to be the way that life was. These burdens weren't supposed to be his. You know, we were never created to live with burdens. We were never created to live with stress. Picture the Garden of Eden. Picture where we started out from. You know that if it weren't for sin, we would have never had to have had a serious thought? What would there to have been serious about? Just enjoy life. We had no responsibility to make a living. We had no financial pressure based on the economic system. I mean, we had no clothes. How did we mess that up? That was supposed to be a joke. Where once I finished, you went, ah, ha, ha, ha. There's supposed to be no pressure, and they've just got a lot of pressure in the room. Okay. There's supposed to be no pressure in the Garden of Eden. There's supposed to be no stress. There's nothing to be serious about. And then all of a sudden, sin comes along, and it's driven us to the point where everything causes stress. Everything causes pressure. Everything puts a burden upon our shoulders. We were never created to live that way. You know, sometimes it's the silliest things in life that cause us stress and put a burden on us. Sometimes it's the silliest things. You drive by the gas station and you just look at the price of gas. And it's like, I can feel the pressure. Sometimes like people just freak out at the price of gasoline. I've told you this before and I'll probably tell you this again. I have a Bible verse for every time I see the price of gas. You want to know it? None of these things move me. The Apostle Paul said it. None of these things move me. It doesn't matter what the price of gas is. Are you still going to put the gas in your tank? Yeah? Then why would you worry about it? Worry is not going to magically start turning those numbers back. You know, some of us, we worry about the silliest things. And for some of us, all of our worries are centered around our family. Every single situation that happens in our family just bogs us down. You get some bad news about what's going on with your sister, and you know, one of your relatives is going through a divorce, and somebody's struggling with their health, and why, you know, why is Aunt June such a bad influence on my kids at Christmas? And, I mean, everything just becomes this burden upon you, where you just, every time your family member is hurting, you take their problems and you just put it on your shoulders. You just let it weigh you down and weigh you down. And hey, your life might be fantastic, but at the end of the night, you are stressed out because of those who are in your life. You are completely stressed out. I need to tell you something this morning. That's not your burden. That's not your burden to bear. It's not supposed to be a pressure that's on your shoulders. And I don't know what that thing is for you. I don't know what's on your mind right now. I don't know that thing that doesn't leave you during the day at work, or that thing that keeps you up at night. I don't know what that is. But I do know it's not your burden. It's not supposed to be your burden. David says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. You know, it's a humbling thing to realize you need to cast your burden on God. It's a humbling thing. Because first, you've got to admit that you need help. And sometimes we like hanging on to our burdens, don't we? We like hanging on to our burdens. We like the feeling of having something to fix. And so we say, well, hey, this is my burden. But here's the thing. If it's your burden, then it's your responsibility. If you want to hang on to that thing that's causing you stress, then that means it's your responsibility to fix it. Okay? And guess what? You're limited to your talents and abilities and resources. And I'm just guessing, but I'm pretty sure that your talents and abilities and resources can't fix your problems. Just putting it out there. If you want to keep that burden, then you have to be responsible to fix it. So here's the other side of that. If it's not your burden, it's not your responsibility to fix it. Which means it's not limited to your resources and talents and abilities. It's actually based upon God's talents and resources and abilities. Wow. I don't imagine that problem can stick around much longer in the hands of the Almighty God. If you let it become His burden, He can apply His resources to it, which are pretty much unlimited. They're completely unlimited. We want to hang on to a burden sometimes because we feel like we deserve it. Because we say, well, you know, Pastor Tim, I got myself in the situation. I made this mess, so I got to be the one to clean it up. Well, you might have made that mess. You might have been the one to get you into that situation. And I completely agree that you have the ability to get yourself in a bad situation. I believe in you in that. But you got to realize when you can't necessarily clean up just because you can make it a mess. Just because you can make a mess of things doesn't mean that you can clean it up. You need to be able to go beyond your limited resources. Casting your burden on the Lord. What does that look like? What does it look like? See, it's a matter of trusting in God. And here's the thing. A lot of people equate trusting God with something, they equate that with pretending it isn't there. People say you got to trust God. And they go, well, what does that mean? I just pretend that I don't have this problem? Just pretend that it's not there? Just wish it away? And people equate that on the same thing. Trusting God just means forgetting about it. That's not what it is. Casting your burden upon the Lord is sharing your heart with God and trusting Him to help you through it. You don't ignore that it's there. It's not about ignoring the issue. Issues don't just go away. But it's about understanding that you need God's help to get you through it. Casting your burden upon the Lord involves a confident expectation of a good outcome. How do I know, Pastor Tim, if I've cast my burden on the Lord? Do you have a confident expectation that everything's going to work out? No, actually, I'm pretty worried that it's not. Well, then you're still hanging on to your burden. Because if you've given it to God, a God who you can trust and who is good and who is all-powerful and faithful, then all of a sudden you see your situation with a different lens. All of a sudden, every attack that comes, you know what you see? Another victory that's about to happen. It's just a different perspective when you cast your burden on the Lord. Now, this is what David says in verse 16. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He will save me. Not he might save me. Not he can save me. Not I sure hope he does save me. He will save me. I need to inform you about something this morning. Casting your burden on the Lord requires faith. You've got to believe God will save me. I'm not hoping, I'm not wishing, I'm not crossing my fingers, I'm not doing anything like that. I believe that he actually will save me. You've got to have such a resolve in your heart when you give it to God that he's going to take care of you. But in order to see that come to pass, you've got to cast your burden on the Lord. David had faith in God saving him from his burdens. So what burden is upon your shoulder this morning? What's that thing, or more accurately, many things that you just can't stop thinking of, that you're wondering about? Concerns over family, concerns over finances, concerns over health, concerns over the world. Some of you, I believe, need to stop watching the news. It's not in my notes, by the way. God just put that in my heart. Somebody in the room this morning needs to stop watching the news. You're terrifying yourself. You know, we look at what's going on in the world, and you know what a lot of people say? This world's just getting worse and worse and worse, and there's more and more and more sin. I haven't seen anything new. Go read the Old Testament. This world's been sick and dying for a long, long time. You know what the change has been? We have TV and the internet, and we just hear about all the sin all the time. It gets publicized. People tweet sin and put it on Facebook and Instagram sin. We just see it more. It's always been there. The world is not getting worse. It's always been bad. The world has always needed Jesus. Anyways, I'll get back to my sermon. The Apostle Paul wrote something. Actually, before I go there, it was Jesus himself who made this statement. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's every one of us in this room. Come to me, all of you who have burden in your life, who have things that are pressurizing you, that are weighing upon your shoulders, things that stress you out. Come to me. You're qualified. If you've got stress in your life, you're invited. Come to Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus is looking at an exchange. You give me your burden, I will give you my rest. That's a good exchange. It's a good trade, isn't it? Give me your burden, I will give you my rest. Do you know how well Jesus sleeps at night if he did? Jesus knows how to rest. Jesus knows how to not get stressed out when bad news comes. And you can respond the same way. You can start sleeping more soundly throughout the night than ever before. If you cast your burden on the Lord, if you give it to Jesus and let him give you your rest. So you may have done a fine job of getting yourself into the situation that you're in, but you need Jesus' help in getting you out of that situation. You need to get to a point where you realize you need somebody who's bigger than you to help you out. So let Jesus carry your burden. Let Jesus carry your burden. The Apostle Paul wrote this, "Do not be anxious about anything. No stress in your life whatsoever." No stress in your life whatsoever. Don't be anxious about anything. But he goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What did David just do? What did we just read? He let his requests be made known to God. And what does Paul say? He says, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. You can't even comprehend how much peace Jesus can give you. You can't even fathom it. That kind of a peace is going to be able to guard your heart and your mind. And your mind. Your mind needs guarding this morning, in case you haven't found that out. Peace can guard your mind. Do you know what happens when peace guards your mind? It doesn't respond to that negativity. It doesn't respond to bad news. When peace is ruling your thought life, you can throw tragedy at it and it'll just bounce off and hit the floor. When you've got your mind covered by the peace of God, tragedy could strike and it doesn't shake you, because you've given your burden to the Lord and you've received rest in return. Peter says something that is almost word for word exactly what David tells us to do in Psalm 55. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. You can cast your burden onto God because he cares for you, because he loves you. And he wants to be good to you. Because you, listen this morning, you have a breaking point. You have a breaking point. And you might be carrying burdens upon you that you just think, hey, I'm fine, I'm doing good, I can handle this, I can take care of this, I'm okay, I don't need help from anybody, I'm good. There is a straw that can and may break your back if you let it. There's a breaking point in all of us. Why? Because we weren't created to live with stress. We weren't created to live this way. So David says, I'm frustrated, I'm stressed, life sucks right now. God, I'm angry, I'm depressed, I can't sleep at night, I'm overwhelmed, I've thought about death. But you know what? I'm just going to cast my care on you. You know what he says? He'll sustain you. Verse 22, he will sustain you. And he will never permit the righteous to be moved. Never permit the righteous to be moved. David's saying, life sucks right now, but I'm not going anywhere. Why? Because God's faithful to me. I won't be moved. I won't be moved. As long as I give this over to you, God, you will sustain me. And I am righteous because I am your child, and therefore I am not going to be moved. There is a straw that can break your back. If you hold on to it just a little bit too long. You see, the man in the story found out that his camel had a breaking point. That there is actually too great of an amount of pressure that can be placed on its back before it broke. But you know, the man needed that animal to be able to do the task. If he was going to get into the marketplace, he needed that animal there. And they would have commonly used camels or goats or donkeys for this task. Do you know what those animals were called? They had a term for it. Beast of burden. They were the beast of burden. Why? Because they carried your burden. See, we have an overly deep definition and understanding of the word burden, because we understand that to mean something very particular in our lives. But the word that's used for burden just means load. It's your lot. It's what's been given to you. It's not as easily defined as something that's, you know, stressing you out. It's just a load, something that's pressurizing you to do one thing or another. And so this beast was assigned the task of carrying someone's burden or weight into the marketplace. But you know, they didn't load up the burden onto the beast and just give that camel a slap on the rear and send it into town. They went with the burden of beast. And there's something that we need to see in that imagery, is that you don't just throw your problems at God and say, God, thanks for wrapping things up by 5 o'clock. I'm going to go for coffee. And some of us, that's what we've done. We think that we've prayed a prayer and we've said, God, I'm gonna just give this over to you and just thanks for dealing with that. God, thanks for helping me pay my bills. And then you just completely neglect your visa statements that come in the mail and the phone calls that come when the creditors are after you. You just say, it's no problem. God's taking care of that. And you just pretend the problem's not there. Well, no, you got to walk alongside that camel into the marketplace with your burden. I'll ask the worship team to come on up. I want to encourage you this morning by telling you that Jesus wants to be your beast of burden. Jesus has come. All of you who are weary and have burden in your life, come to me. And I will give you rest. I believe Jesus wants to be our beast of burden. He wants to carry your burden for you. He wants to carry your burden for you. And you place that burden upon your Savior, and then you walk right alongside, holding His hand, going wherever it is you need to go. Wherever it is that you need to go. See, your burden might lead you. You might have to deal with something. You might have to be actively involved in bringing some reconciliation to a certain matter. So you give it to God, and then you hold His hand as you walk into wherever it is that you need to go. And the whole time, Jesus is carrying the burden. You walk tall. You breathe freely. You speak openly. You don't have that pressure on you. Why? Because you've decided to trust in God. You've decided that He is going to sustain me. And it's so easy to say, how? How? I don't understand how saying, God, I cast my care on you, I don't understand how He's actually going to deal with it. Well, this is the beautiful thing. You don't have to. You don't have to see God's playbook. You don't get to see God's playbook. You got to be willing to trust Him and say, God, however you want to do it. If you're going to lead me to do something about it, if you're going to ask me to write a check, if you're going to ask me to go lay hands on somebody, if you're going to ask me to go and confess my sins to somebody, whatever it is, I'm going to give you my burden, and I believe that as you give me rest, I'm going to be able to walk alongside you to bring reconciliation to this matter. But when does the burden leave your shoulder? When does the burden leave your shoulder? Far before you get to where you need to go. Leaves your shoulder when you give it to God. I meant it when I said this morning, every one of you can leave with all of your burdens lifted upon off of your shoulders. Every single one. Every single one. You don't have to walk out with it. You give it to God, and it's released from you at that point. Because it's not your burden to bear. It's not your burden to bear. And when you cast your burden onto Jesus, I come into agreement with David here and say, He will sustain you. He will sustain you. He'll keep you strong. He'll keep you filled with faith. He will sustain you as you trust in Him. Now, why would He do that? Because He cares for you. Think about that. If God really cares for you the way that He says He does, imagine how much more He wants to take care of your burden than you do. Sometimes we think that things are more important to us than they are to God. You might think, you might look at your spouse and say, there's nobody else in all of existence who loves you like I do. That's not true. God loves your spouse far more than you ever have or ever will. So you can actually trust God with your marriage. Why? Because God wants your marriage to succeed far more than you do. Far more than you do. God cares more about the burdens that are upon your shoulders than you do. But he has a higher vantage point. He has a view that goes a little bit higher than ours. We're in the thick of it. We are distracted by all of the different circumstances around us. So you think you love your spouse? God loves them more. You think you love your kids? God loves them more than you do. So go ahead and trust your kids into the arms of God. Go ahead and just and cast the burden of your children onto God. Let me tell you this, parents. They are not your burden. Your children are not your burden. I heard something a few weeks ago that just resonated with me so much. Being a parent is not about ownership. It's about stewardship. You don't own your children.
Well, I brought you into this world and...
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God did. God did. You don't own your children. You're stewarding them. You're investing in them. You're pouring out onto them. You're speaking blessing over them. You're praying for them. You're teaching them. And all the while you are trusting God. God, they're your burden, not mine. I refuse to live in stress over my children. You refuse to do so. It's not your burden to bear. So you're concerned about your kids, you're concerned about your grandkids, you're concerned about your parents or your friends or your coworkers. That you got to have a healthy amount of concern and care for them, but do not bear the weight of a burden upon your shoulders. That's not your burden to bear. So you look to God and you say, God, I am refusing to carry a burden that you have asked me to give to you. Let's stand together. All of you, open invitation. And then he gives a description to point you out in the crowd. You are burdened. You're weary, you're restless, you're heavy laden. I want you to come to me so that we can exchange something. I've got a gift for you. But if you want my gift, if you want my rest, you have to give me your burden. You've got to let it go. You've got to give it to God. And you've got to stand in faith that everything's going to be all right. Let's worship him. Thank you.